I had a thought. Good evening, Abosai. I had a thought. Please tell me if it makes sense or not. The Gemara, I think, in Brocha speaks about, I think, nearly sure it's Rebbe Kiva. And he said that when he was brought to Hariga, his Talmidim asked him what was his greatest mitzvah that he has ever performed. What was his greatest mitzvah? And he replies and he said that once, his Chalful in Moisov, he Moishel Tztoker. The Gemara says that he was once, he was a Gabbat Tztoker, he got money, people gave him money, Tztoker money. And in his pocket, there was a bit of a confusion, a mix-up between the various coins. And Tztoker money he was given got confused with his own personal money, and he wasn't quite sure what to do. He wasn't quite sure how many of the coins are actually Tztoker money. He wasn't sure how much money is actually Tztoker money, or is how much his own personal money. So he decided, better safe than sorry. And what did he do? He took all the coins and he gave it to Tztoker. So he said, that was my greatest mitzvah that I've ever done. There was a few coins that got mixed up. And I decided to give them all Tztoker instead of... So the question seems to be an obvious question. What's the obvious question? So the beginning of the story goes that he was asked what was the greatest mitzvah that you ever done. I think it was a Rebbe Kiva, Kamala says. And he said, once I had a few coins mixed up, some were Tztoker coins and some was my own coins, and it got mixed up. And I decided in my pocket, I said, I'll give the own Tztoker, better safe than sorry. That was the greatest mitzvah, that's what he said. So the obvious question is what Rav Feingold says. What do you mean, that was his greatest mitzvah? That was really his greatest mitzvah. And he was killed al Kiddush Hashem a few minutes later. He was brought to death. He was teaching Torah on death threats, and eventually he was killed because of that. And he was one of the greatest Tanoim that Klal Yisrael ever had, and one of the greatest Torah leaders that Klal Yisrael ever had in its history. And that's his greatest mitzvah. I mean, I think that most of us, if you have a few coins in your pocket, you know, a few pounds here, a few pounds there, you wouldn't take a risk. You'd give a little Tztoker. I mean, so this is really the greatest mitzvah. It's a posh question. So Rav Dessler explains it, and he says a moedig avot. Rav Dessler said, the question is a good question, right? What would you do if you had a few coins and you're not sure which one is stock and which one's not? You give them all, of course, yeah. So that's Rabbi Kiva's greatest mitzvah ever. So Rav Dessler explains, and he says, if you want to see the godliness of a person, it's a great, if somebody is in public display, and somebody is, the great mitzvahs that a person does, the great ones, everybody's going to do. He says, it's very rare that somebody has got a gun on its head. And he said, you know, either serve of a Zorah, do Gilu Aroyas or whatever, or I'm going to shoot you. And eventually he's going to do... He said, people, at the end of the day, people are ma'minim b'nei ma'minim. They're going to do the right choice. And if it's really the big ones, people are going to do the right decisions. They're going to be Moisei Nefesh for Klalis, Moisei Nefesh for the Ribono Shel Olam. If you want to really check a person's Yirat Shamayim, if you only want to check where a person really is, it's the little things. The tiny little things. When you really check where a person is, don't check the big things. Everybody keeps Yom Tov. Who doesn't keep Yom Tov? Who keeps Shabbos? Everybody keeps Shabbos. I mean, obviously, no, but if you don't check a person's Yirat Shamayim on Shabbos and Yom Tov and the big way. Everybody fasts Yom Kippur. Everybody fasts Yom Kippur. Why? Because it's a big thing. It's a big thing. So it's the little things. If you want to check where a person is holding, you check the little things. The Moshe Rabbeinu once said, and if you want to check a person's Yashmaim, you check on the little things, not the big things. It makes sense? So I'm just thinking, as we're going through the Halachas Nad, we're going to be learning, we started a bit because of Zikim, we're going to see, I think that's really, that's a hagosha that I have. If you really want to see a person, you know, does he make a brocha? When does he make the brocha? And never mind food brochas, never mind all that. But a person is a thunder and lightning, make a brocha. Person goes on holidays, he ends up by the sea. Does he make a bracha? Does he care? Does he not care? Something is important for him, it's not important for him. When he sees big mountains, he makes a bracha or not. It's the kind of thing, it's a very little thing. You know, it's a shos. If you don't do it, you didn't do an aver if you don't make a bracha. We learned that it's an optional bracha. It's optional. If a person does it, if a person fails to make a bracha when he sees a great mountain, it's not an avarian because of that. He's not a bad person because of that. But if you really check a person, Does he really, really care? Is he really a Shemaim? Does he really, really, is he really important for him? It's the little things that a person is going to check. And I think those brachas is a beautiful example for that. Personally, and I also feel that, that's my own personal agosha. That's really, I mean, I'm not a great mechanech, but I think that the thing, the kind of things I want to instill in our kids and our talmidim is that kind of things. When you go on holidays and you see a place and you make a bracha, it's like those things, who's going to know about it besides you and the Baruch Shalom and the kids? It's the kind of things that they, it's the subtle things. It's the kind of things that, that's where you show that. It's, you know, if a person doesn't go to minyan, everybody notices you don't go to minyan. If a person doesn't go to, you know, it's like a, but if a, it's the subtle things, it's subtle things, which I think that are really important. That was my thought, which I thought of today, and I wanted to share that with you, Rabbi Yisrael. Does that make sense? Wait, what's, any feedback? Pardon? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Same idea, yeah. Yeah, you don't seem convinced. No, make, yeah. Okay, we spoke on Thursday briefly about the halachas of the brochas of thunder and lightning. We're now going to continue with Seif Beis, which is the follow-on of this halacha. And it says as follows, kol zman shlo nispasru avim, as long as the clouds are still present, nifta bevrocha achas, you're yotzei with one bracha. In other words, if there was a few lightning and a few thunders which are taking place, which often is the case, right, Chaim? Sometimes when it's like thunder, it goes like in a few and it'll go. I don't know scientifically how it works exactly. My physics is too weak. It's physics, right? It's not chemistry, right? It's physics, right? My physics is too weak to understand exactly why it is. But sometimes you have a few. So as long as the clouds are still there, even if you hear a few times, it's one bracha. Nispazru bein borok le borok, ubein ra'am le ra'am. If the clouds were completely separated, and it was a complete split, and then subsequently there was another lightning, or there's another thunder after the clouds is completely dispersed, and then they merged again together, and there was another incident, then you make a bracha again. The reason is, Mishnah Berurah explains, if cotton ches, he adds, this is only the case if the clouds are completely got away, and the Shemaim, the sky was completely clean, and it was completely pure, right? It was completely cleansed, completely between the lightnings. It was another, like another, the weather's changed over completely again, a third time over, and it's now completely dark again, it's again lightning. And it was again, it all happened again. Then, let me make a bracha again. Because it's a new instant, a new matter, it's a new weather. That's when you make a bracha. Havolecha shenispazru avim al yaruach, echot, vehenu adayin, munun arakia. But if it was just a slight dispersion, what's the right word? A slight, it was like still very, really bad weather, and it was thunder and lightning, and it was like a bit better, but it's still like, and then 5 minutes later again, it never clicked completely clean, then you won't make a new bracha. Also, the Mishabur adds over here, which I think that's the minhag, Umashma beYerushalmi, Tadafka boYisrael. You make a bracha once a day. I think that's the case. I think that Alocha leMaaser boYisrael, I think that if it's few thunder and lightning in one day, I think you make only one bracha. But biYoyim Ech b'chol gavur tzorich lachzor levorech. So if it's two incidents, you could really make a new bracha, but Mishabur seems to imply from the Yerushalmi, that you'd make only one bracha per day. Siv Gimel. What happens if a person is Beis HaKise? He's being excused. Veshama koil ram, and there was thunder. Oy rabok, he saw lightning. What should he do? Im yocholotzer levorech toich kidei dibu, yeitzei. Halacha is, if you can get out of there, and make a bracha toich kidei dibu, which is just sufficient time to say what? That's right. Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi. Which is how long? About 2 seconds? Yeah, about 2 or 3 seconds. If you can get out of this as quickly as that, then Yeitzei should get out and say the bracha. Vimlav. If you're unable to get out of there so quickly, Lo Yeitzei, don't get out. Mishnah Berurah says, in Sefkot and Tes, It's not only if it's in the bathroom. Similarly, also if you're in a place where the butcher is busy shechting seeing to the meat. It's a very, very strong odor in that place. Have you been to a abattoir? Has anybody been to an abattoir once? To Shechita House? Anybody been to Shechita House? I've been zeichet to be in abattoirs. The smell there, it's awful. It's awful. It's mamash awful. When you go there, it's extremely, extremely hot from the heat that comes from the chicken. I was actually by the chicken abattoir, not by the gases. It's even worse there, apparently. It's so hot, and the smell is absolutely bad. Really, really bad. So there also, you wouldn't be able to, if you're there and there's and you want to make the bracha, you can't make a bracha there. It's impossible to make a bracha. Or you go into streets that have smell. If you can get out of there very quickly, you can. If not, not. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds in Zivkot Yud that this is even that you should do that. You should say the bracha as long as there's no problem about the shaktsu. If there's a problem about the shaktsu, obviously you can't make a bracha. But if there's no issue about the shaktsu, so it's not bad enough that you really own about the shaktsu, you should go out and say the bracha. Similarly, also Mishnah Berurah Zivkot Yud Aleph tells us that obviously if you've touched in areas of the body that requires washing hands, then obviously you can't say the bracha. You have to wash your hands first. But you're likely to lose the bracha because it's going to take you a bit of time. So Zivkot Yud Beis tells us that a very important rule. Rabbi, what's the concept that we are seeing from the Shulchan Aruch? Conceptually, what are we seeing in the Shulchan Aruch? So we're learning our halacha that if you're in the toilet, if you're in the bathroom, if you can get out of there within 2 seconds, you should make the bracha. If you can't, you should stay there. What does that teach us conceptually? Yeah? Chaim Yishua Levi tells us exactly what Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us. That it teaches us that a person only has a couple of seconds to say the bracha. So imagine, for another reason altogether, a person failed to say the bracha within Toich Kedei Dibu of the lightning. Within Toich Kedei Dibu of the thunder. For whatever reason. Do you know what? He was just, I don't know, he was benching. Or he was... Exactly. That's right. I was thinking, that's right. Perfect. And now, it was over 2 seconds. It took him 5 seconds to get himself together. I'm finding it really hard to make a bracha without my glasses. You know, until I find my glasses and, you know. So, pardon?
If I had a
scissor. That's right. So, does that mean now, have we now learned that if it's more than 2 seconds, you shouldn't make the bracha? Is that what Shulchan Aruch teaches us? Chaim Yishua says, yeah. Chaim Yishua tells us that, yes, he tells us that if the im laugh, again, im yocholot says to levorech toich kedei dibu, if you can get out, and say the bracha toich kedei dibu, yeitze, you should get out of the bathroom, ve'im laugh, if you're unable to get out within the toich kedei dibu, lo yeitze, don't go out. So now, Naftali, what do you tell? And is that really the halacha? Yes? Pardon? It's quite hard. It's quite hard, but maybe that's what it says. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Yisai. Sivkotn Yud Beis. Yeitzei, Peirash. Yemae, you should hurry. Lord says to get out Misham. From there, Kedei, in order, Shalayafzi Lebocha, that you don't lose the blessing. Avolim Yisareich, Yoise, but if it delays it longer, Mekedei Dibu, Yoise Mekedei Dibu, more than Toch Kedei Dibu, which we said is a few seconds. That anyway, kva over azman, the time already has finished. Ein tzorich shuv lemaya. You should not hurry anymore. Because in Nishma, from here we learn, and we see, and we can understand, the shiur ha-brocha, the measurement of the brocha, shal romim v'brokim, on lightning and, lightning and thunders, who dafke b'deik dibu, is the length of Torah Kedei Dibur. Hevir Oma Yoisem Kedei Dibur, but if it was more than Kedei Dibur, Mei She'oro Abor, from when he saw the lightning, Oishom Arom, who heard the thunder, Shov Loi Yevoreich, you should not make a brach anymore, Al Ram V'Bor, Xeron, this lightning and thunder. So yes, indeed, the halacha is, you cannot make the brach after a few seconds. Humitam Zeheched also Tzroch V'not Taliyot, V'Shom HaKol Rom O'Yro Bozok. But kids, that's what he says. So indeed, you've got to be careful to make the bracha straight away. A bracha straight away. You cannot delay it. So I don't know, maybe we can be a bit medical. There's very shum of Torah Kedei Dibur. Maybe 2 seconds, maybe 3 seconds. You know what? Maybe we can stretch it for 4 seconds. But if it's more than that, Rabbi Yisai, yes, we're learning over here. Conceptually, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, you cannot make the bracha anymore. Ve'im lav lo yetzeh, Shulchan Aruch says. You've lost his man already. You've lost his man. So one has to be careful. And the truth is, what's probably more important for us to remember is that b'dyevet, whichever bracha you said, b'dyevet lo yetzeh, we learned on Thursday, that whether you said oizmas breishis b'dyevet, or you said on thunder, lighting, or vice versa. Whatever bracha you made on, all the brachas are relevant for any kind of thing. And therefore, if you don't know which bracha to make, it doesn't really, I can't say it doesn't matter, but you're fine. Otherwise, if you've forgotten, it's a now on the lighting or not, whatever, you're getting confused. So you should still, whatever it is, just get up, make the bracha straight away, and you've gained the bracha. Yeah. So we learned on Thursday that you don't need to. There is no need to. And I know that some people have such a, I can't call it a minik. I know there's people who do that. There is no reason for halacha to do so. There's no requirement. On the contrary, as soon as you hear something, you should get up and say the bracha. And that's the only way that you're actually going to be able to say both brachas. Because if you've waited for both, the lightning and the thunder, and then you'll only be able to make one bracha. You won't be able to say two brachas. As discussed on Thursday. Rabbi Yisai, an interesting shaila, which I wonder what you think. What if somebody's learning? I've got a memory that I was learning in Meir Yeshiva. I wasn't the whole time learning in the Beis Medrash, but for a bit of time I was learning in the Beis Medrash. And I've got that memory that there was once an earthquake. That was true. I wasn't referring to that though. But that's true as well. But just irregular thunder and lightning in the winter in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And it was middle of Seder. So what do you do? So do you interrupt learning to make the bracha or not? You don't. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Hear. Kavi says, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Yeah. So you said they're no different. Pardon? Yeah, she's saying that. Very good. So, Aloch Nemaisa, my memory was that you don't. My memory was, I don't know where I got it from, that you don't interrupt, but I was wrong. I remember that in that incident, there would have been 500-700 bochim getting up and making the bochim, and that wasn't the case. I don't know why, but I remember that people didn't stop and people didn't say the bochim. I don't think people did. But I saw, dear should they bring from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that a person should interrupt and say the bracha. Because it's a mitzvah veres, and that's probably what he means. He doesn't explain over here, but probably I saw it maybe elsewhere as well, that it's a mitzvah veres, much like you were saying. It's a mitzvah veres, that generally it's true that Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and we generally don't interrupt learning. Whatever happens, we don't interrupt learning generally. But there is a rule that mitzvahs oiveres, Shulchan Aruch, Yeredei Paskens, that if you've got a mitzvah oiveres, a time-bound mitzvah, you're going to lose. Mitzvah is going to pass, such as Achmosos Oichim, or Bikur Cholim, or Levayis Hameis, or whatever the mitzvahs may be. Megillah is another example. A mitzvah that if you don't fulfill it now, it's going to be lost forever. Then the halacha is that it is a mitzvah veres, and we are mevatel Talmud Torah for a mitzvah veres. So it's very likely that's what Chaim Kanievsky means, that it's a mitzvah veres because you won't be able to make the bracha later on, as we just discussed. After a few seconds, the mitzvah is gone. So since that it's a mitzvah veres, you're going to lose the mitzvah, you should stop learning and you should make the bracha. Pardon? Yeah, even if it is simple, at the end of the day, you're interrupting from learning. So, but you don't have to get up. Correct. That's in terms of the bracha of lightning, Birkas Azikin and Birkas Haraomim veBrokim. Okay. A halacha which we didn't discuss is the very strong winds. Hazof. That is something that is also deserves a bracha of Koichoi Gvurosim Oleolam, particularly strong winds. It's hard to define, although I think that there is speed and what kind of when would you make a bracha?
Hurricane.
Hurricanes, right?
It's a problem because you wouldn't want to be around them.
You want to be very far away.
Right.
Yeah.
Or tornado.
Yeah, tornado or hurricanes. That's actually what's put out in the poskim, and indeed that's what the poskim say that you don't make it. So that's different, right? Because the brokim, the thunder and lightning we're talking about, that's something that happens regularly. And you can make a bracha. Over here, the strong winds that we're talking about is not something regular, it's something very, very irregular, and something probably pretty dangerous. And only then you'd make a bracha if it's like a particularly strong wind. Regular kind of winds don't deserve a bracha. And
Gales.
Gales, what is that? Really, really strong? I don't know, is that really strong? It's less than hurricanes. I don't know. I can't define it. Well, the poets can say that it's particularly strong winds that are not normally seen, not normally, if it's extremely strong, that will generally like cause damage, substantial damage. Now, a shayla which I saw today, and I'm not sure about the psak, but it's just something to think about. What if a person sees it with binoculars? Yeah, binoculars. Well, okay, if you say, let's say you see far away, see lightning and particularly strong lightning, it's far away. And we're going to see something that's actually relevant also to the halachas we're going to see now about a rainbow or even Yamun Horus, mountains, for in particular storm. We're going to speak about mountains. Very great. You see Mount Everest, but you're quite far away, but you see it clearly with your binoculars. Will you make a bracha or not? Yeah. She said that l'chayra is no difference between glasses and that. It's a visual aid which supports your vision just to see it first. So surely could you make a bracha with that? Everybody agrees? Agreed? If you see Mount Everest with a... You shouldn't? Oh, natural. So what about glasses? So it's interesting. I saw today, and I can't take full achrayus for this because I saw it from a Likud Sforim that the post came out here, that yes, even any bracha zariyah, any pek zariyah that you see, if you see it, if you're supporting visual aid, you could still make the bracha. That's what I saw. Interesting, because at the end of the day, you're seeing it. At the end of the day, you're seeing it. Very good. So I suppose the answer to that is that you can't make a bracha, and I imagine that the answer is because you're not actually seeing it. Yeah, I suppose. Pardon? Yeah, I imagine. Okay, that leads us to seven. Reish chofres birkas yamim v'nahores horim v'gvoist. It's very now, very good in preparation for the holidays. Al yamim v'nahores. And sea on seas and rivers, streams. Horim, mountains, gvois, hills. Umit boys. Deserts. Who is going to see deserts? Who is going to see deserts on holidays? Anybody going to a desert? No. Oimer, the Texas, good deserts. No. Yeah. Oimer, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Lecholam Oisim Asa Bereishis. Make Oisim Asa Bereishis. These are all evidence of the Ribono Shel Olam creating the world. These are remains of the spectacular creation of the world. If you see a tree on Mowbray Parade, it doesn't particularly remind you of Moshe Bereishis. But if you're seeing the great mountains, if anybody's ever seen the particularly beautiful creations, you see the beautiful creations, or the beautiful mountains, beautiful rivers, beautiful. They are spectacular, they are magnificent, and they are awe-inspiring, and you can make a bracha on that. Vali Oisim Asa Bereishis, you make Oisim Asa Bereishis, the one who created the world. A Yamagodl on the great sea. We'll soon identify what the great sea is. That is the sea that you cross that sea to get to Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, which we call nowadays Mediterranean, that's right. You think the Yamagodl. Now that's an interesting one. Why is that an interesting one? Hayamagodl! It's not that great. It's not that huge. My knowledge of geography is pretty small, but if I would think about the Yam HaGadol, I'd probably think about, what would I think about? Pardon? I think about the oceans. I think about the Pacific Ocean, I think about the Atlantic Ocean. I wouldn't necessarily think about Mediterranean, which is a fraction of the size. But Shulchan Aruch says, that is considered Yam HaGadol. More on that, Yemir Tzah Hashem. Sivkotn Aleph Mishnebura. Oysemas Bereshis Perish Kiven Shiyos Sodon Me'oz. Since the Bereshim created it from then, v'shivcho shel mokemu, and it's the praise of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shon makirim ayoyim davar shon yoydim shemokem borim shetsim Bereshis v'tanu kaim. These are remembrances. When we go to those particularly great and magnificent creations, we say, "Oh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you created this," and we praise Hashem for something that happened such a long time ago. That's shivcho shel mokemu. That's the praise of the Bereshis Shloim. Ve'ein levarech aleim shkech gvosam aloim. But on those, you should not say kech gvosam aloim. Why not? Why not kech gvosam aloim? Pardon? Yeah, so the Mishnah says, k'mal ruchos v'ramim, on Thunder night, you can make shkech gvosam aloim. On a sea, on a mountain, you don't say kech gvosam aloim. Ta'osam em nirem v'nishmanim lemechek. Because these are seen from distance. A great mountain, Mount Everest, you can see for many, many miles. The Alps, you can see for many, many, many miles. I'm telling you for a fact. And so that's like Shkoch Gvuras Maloil. But Shkoch Gvuras Maloilam. Avol Yamim V'Noris Kol Echad B'Mkoyim. But they are in a static place. So Rabbi says, so the point is that so something which we need to identify a little bit, which Mishabu doesn't, is the Gvois. Horim are the particularly great mountains. So what are the particularly great mountains? Jungfrau. Jungfrau, absolutely, yeah. You can make, yeah, that's right. So the Alps do qualify as Horim that you make a brocha. What about anything else? Snowdon. Snowdon is a good question. Snowdon is genuinely a good shaila. Anybody makes a brocha on Snowdon? You make a brocha? Pardon? When you see it, it doesn't have to be on top of it, it's about seeing it. You don't? How about you decide to make a bracha on Snowdon or not? Snowdon? Snowdon? Anybody seen Snowdon?
Yeah.
You make a bracha? Didn't make a bracha? Didn't make a bracha? What is it like? How high is it?
Massive.
Massive? And people make brachas on it? Yeah. Yeah, so Snowdon, Rabbeisai, many poskim say you can make a bracha on Snowdon. Some poskim don't like it. I think that the ones who are makel and said you can make a bracha on Snowdon are probably the ones that have been to the Swiss Alps. I think that's probably the one. The ones who have been there probably would be rather hesitant to make a bracha. Rabbeisai, we learned tonight that... Yeah, in 130 days, yeah. We learned tonight that you make only the bracha on the Romim and on the Brokim if the clouds have dispersed altogether and then they have merged again, then you can make a bracha. Otherwise, you can't. We spoke about somebody's been in the bathroom and then there's a lightning or thunder. He should run out. If he can make the bracha on the Tuchte Debu, he should go out. If he can't, then it shouldn't go out at all, it shouldn't bother. And we're learning from here that the bracha can only be said to Echid Edibu. We then moved on and we said that the bracha of Oysa Mas Breshis is to be said on seas, rivers, mountains, hills, and deserts. And we said that the Yamagodl is to be said on the great sea that is on the way to Eretz Yisrael and Egypt. More on that, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow.